God has spoken to us through His Word, and we love this Word, and it's my heart today to help you to see how awesome and how beautiful and how life-changing and just what a treasure this book is that you hold in your hand. Would you please open your Bible to Psalm 19? Psalm 19. Please stand with me in honor of God's holy word as we read together the passage today, Psalm 19. And I will read, you can listen along, starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping with them, there is great reward. Would you pray with me right now? Would you pray right now that God would help you to truly understand the beautiful truth communicated in this passage? Pray that God would help you understand it, and pray that God would use it to strengthen your relationship with Him. Would you please take a few minutes to pray for the other people in this room? We usually pray for people near us, but today I want to change things. Just pray a prayer for everyone in this room, that God would help us to understand this passage, and that the Holy Spirit would speak to us through this beautiful passage. Now, would you please take a few moments and pray for me? Pray that I would accurately communicate what the Holy Spirit through David was trying to say. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Look at Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 19, 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. God's creation testifies about Him. God's creation tells us about Him. God's creation brings glory to Him. Amen? God has communicated to us through His creation. There can be no creation without a creator. Look around you at this building. This building is absolute 100% evidence that carpenters exist. There was 30, 40 years ago, a team of construction workers and a team of wonderful Trinity Baptist volunteers that built this building. And this building is here to testify not only of their existence, but of their skill. Look at these beams. Look at those beautiful windows. This building testifies that 30, 40 years ago, men came together and women came together and built this building and did a wonderful job. And as you look at the stars, as you look at the mountains, as you look at the ocean, as you look at the forest, the whole creation screams out, God exists. And not only does He exist, He's awesome. Look at verse 2. Day by day, the creation, or the heavens, pours forth speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor their words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. God has spoken to us through creation. Amen? There is a second way that God has spoken to us, and this is what Mike McLaughlin was saying to us. God has spoken to us right here. And that's what we believe at Trinity Baptist Church, that these 66 books, this collection of 66 books that I hold in my hand, is the Word of God, nothing less. Every single word, every single book, every single phrase, every single sentence, every book, all 66 is nothing less than the very Word of God. That's what we believe at Trinity Baptist Church. Well, if that is the case, how great is it? How great is this book? Just how awesome and wonderful is this book that we hold in our hands? Why is it? Why is it that we spend so much time at this valley getting Bibles into the hands of the persecuted church? Why is it that if God were to do an awesome work and we were to raise up $50 million this year, and with that $50 million, we sent it to Open Doors and they bought 10 million Bibles. And they took those 10 million Bibles and they sent them overseas. Why is it that they would be immediately taken up by people that want them? Why do people want this book so badly? What is so great about this book? Look at verse 7. Psalm 19:7 says it all. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Number two in your notes. God's word is perfect. God's word is perfect. It is without defect. It is totally 100% perfect. The word of God is never wrong. It will never mislead you. God will never, ever, ever give you bad advice in this book. It is the only perfect book. The law of the Lord is perfect, and what does it do in verse 7? The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Restoring the soul. Why do people want this book so badly? Number three in your notes. Why do people want this book so badly? Number three in your notes, the Word of God feeds and nourishes your soul. The Word of God feeds and nourishes your soul. You know this, we've talked about it before. You all have physical life. Every single person in this room is alive physically. And what happens if you stop eating? You get weak. You get sick. And if you stop eating long enough, you will die. Brothers and sisters, many of you in this room are born again spiritually. You have spiritual life. And just as you need physical food, you need spiritual food. Do you feel defeated spiritually? Do you feel weak spiritually? Are you giving into temptation? Are you living the Christian life you want to live, or do you feel discouraged? Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you ate? Matthew 4:4, behind me on the screen, Jesus says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I know who believes that in this room. I know who believes that. Rob Pierce does. Because he stood right up here and said, one thing I saw about the churches in Uganda is they do not know the gospel. And he said, I'm going to do something about that. He looked at the churches in Uganda and he said, they don't know the gospel, and the pastors don't even know the gospel, and I will not tolerate that, and I can't stand here and tolerate that, and I'm going to go do something about it. Because Rob knows that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. My question to you is, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Is your desire for this book as great as your desire for physical food? Because you need this book. Every single person needs this book. Every single person around the world needs this book. Every single person. Look at verse 7 again. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What does that mean? Number 4 in your notes. The word of God is trustworthy. The word of God is trustworthy. That's what the word sure means. The word of God is trustworthy. It is entirely true. This is one of the most neglected aspects of the word of God. Why don't you obey the word of God? Why don't I obey the word of God? Why is it that David Gordon has trouble obeying the word of God? We don't obey the word of God because we don't trust it. It's true. We're afraid that the word of God will let us down somehow. We're afraid that if we truly obey everything in it, we're somehow going to mess something up. You can trust the word of God, brothers and sisters. It is sure. It is absolutely true. And it will make wise the simple. It'll make wise the simple. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand or admit this out loud, because it's true of all of us. Have you ever been led astray? Have you ever been led astray? That's what it means when it says it makes wise the simple. Number 5 in your notes. God's word, because it is totally trustworthy, makes the simple wise. God's word, because it is totally trustworthy, makes the simple wise. Without God's word, you are vulnerable to Satan's lies. Satan is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Whenever he speaks his native language. Satan is a liar. His demons are liars. And Satan is spreading lies throughout this city. And without the word of God, you are susceptible to believing those lies. And those lies will hurt you a lot. The word of God is trustworthy, and it makes wise the simple, meaning this: when you read the word of God, it gives you the wisdom to recognize and reject Satan's lies. What a beautiful, beautiful treasure this is. That's what touches me about the persecuted church. People are coming to Christ by the millions on the other side of the world, but if they don't have the word of God, they are susceptible to false religions. In the Middle East last year, over 1 million people trusted Christ as Savior. But if they don't have their own Bible, how will they recognize false teaching? That's why we do the One Hope Project. But my concern this morning is not necessarily with the persecuted church. My concern this morning is with you. How will you recognize Satan's lies in your life if you're not reading the Bible every day? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simples, making wise the simple. Psalm 119:98 says this, "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine." Look at verse 8. This is really great. Psalm 19:8. "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. When it says the word of God is right, it's right as in righteous. The word of God is righteous. The Hebrew word right means straight. It is straight. Have you heard the saying, stay on the straight and narrow? That's what it means. The word of God is straight. The straight way is the way of holiness and purity. To get off the path is the path of sin and evil. Number 6 in your notes. The word of God is straight instruction in righteous living. It means straight, straight as in correct, as far as God is concerned. Now, what does the world say about the word of God? And what is Satan's lies about the word of God? The Satan's lies says this, and the world says this. Satan says righteousness ruins your life. Sin is fun, but righteousness is a killjoy. Righteousness ruins your life. Righteousness wrecks your fun. Living a life of holiness wrecks any chance you have of having a good time. That's the lie that Satan is spreading throughout the world. What's the truth? Look at the verse. Verse 8, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Rejoicing the heart. Look how thoroughly our society has lied to you and me. Here is the truth from the Word of God. Here is the truth. The Word of God, and specifically the holy and pure laws of God, give joy to the heart. There is no greater joy than being free from the pain, sorrow, and consequences of sin. There is no greater joy than being free of the pain, sorrow, and consequences of sin and living with a clear conscience, knowing that your life is pleasing to God. The world promises so much fun when you embrace a life of sin, but they don't tell you that sin leads to death. The path of joy is learning and heeding the instructions of holiness. Look at what Jesus says in John 15. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full." Number 7 in your notes, the path to joy is the path to righteousness. The path to joy is the path to righteousness. The greatest joy that the Word of God can bring is the gospel. Do you want joy today? Joy comes from knowing what Jesus did for you and putting your faith in His finished work on the cross. There's no greater joy than knowing that I am in a right relationship with God, not because of my own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This book brings joy. This is the only book that will truly lead you to joy. Satan wants you to stay away from this book. And Satan will tell you that all the worldly pleasures he has to offer will bring you joy, but the opposite is true. The gospel brings joy. Look at verse 8 again. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Look at Proverbs 6:23 behind me on the screen. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The Hebrew word pure means clean. The idea of the Hebrew word is that when something is super duper clean, it shines. When you have something really clean, it's shiny. The word of God is so pure, it shines. The word of God is completely spotless. In fact, that's number 8 in your notes. The word of God is so pure it shines. We've all seen a diluted, impure light. A lot of the parking lots in town will have those big lights on the big poles. And if you look up, the light is not white, is it? It's yellow. Right? The light is yellow. And if you go into, say, Walmart or something like that, and you park your car and it's completely dark and they've got those yellow lights up, and you look down and the colors are not quite right, are they? It doesn't look quite right. A diluted light gives a false image. Look at number 9 in your notes. God's word is pure, perfect light. It shines a pure, perfect light into my life. It shines a pure, perfect light into my life. This is incredibly important, brothers and sisters, because no other book does that. No other book does that. Every other book shines a diluted light into your life. Every other piece of advice you get from human beings shines a diluted light into your life. And there is nothing except the Word of God that will truly shine pure, spotless, white light into your life and expose the sin in your heart and mind. Nothing. Look at your notes. I gave you this statement without a blank. The Word of God shines the most, this is on your note sheet, the Word of God shines the most pure, brilliant light into our lives. And with that pure, radiant light, we can see all the wicked ways in our minds and hearts. If I don't have this book, and all I have is the wisdom of man, and all I have is some other books, I am not going to see my sin. Because only the Word of God shines pure light into my life. Brothers and sisters, right now, you and I are falling short of the glory of God. Me too. In your marriage, you are not living a perfect Christian life. In your relationship with your family, you are not living a perfect Christian life. In your relationship at work, you are not living a perfect Christian life. And if you're only relying on the advice of your friends, if you're only relying on other books, if you're only relying on your own wisdom to think the situation through, that diluted yellow light will not expose your sin. Only the Word of God will do it. You've got to read the Word of God. David knew that. Look what he says in Psalm 139. behind me on the screen. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. This is why it is so important that we get the Bible into the persecuted church. And this is why Rob's ministry is so important. Because if all of the pastors in Uganda are simply preaching their own wisdom, a diluted, yellow, insufficient light will shine into the hearts of the Ugandan church. And the result will be spiritual poverty. The pastors in Uganda must use this book to edify the church. Look at verse 9. Psalm 19, 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Now, it might look like we change subjects. We're talking about the Word of God. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about the fear of God. But we really haven't changed subject at all. Let me bridge it for you. Number 11 in your notes. Thank you, RG, for staying with me. 10, if you miss 10, the Word of God shows me perfectly and brilliantly the sin in my life. Did we get 9? We got 9? Thank you. All right. 11, the fear of God is the result and effect of the Word of God. The fear of God is the result and effect of the Word of God. To fear God means to hold Him in the highest possible place in my mind and heart. To fear God is to give God the highest possible place of honor and reverence. God reveals Himself in His Word as the God who has the power and authority to send me to hell, but the grace and mercy to forgive me instead. And when I read about God in His Word and come to truly realize who He is, the result is the highest possible place of honor, reverence, and awe. We're told that the fear of God is clean. It is clean, like pure gold. Makes perfect sense. Look at Psalm 12:6 behind me on the screen. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the fire, tried in the furnace on the earth, tried 7 times. Number 12 in your notes, the Word of God is totally free of all corruption, falsehood, and error. The Word of God produces the fear of God. Do you want to see a poor church? You want to see a poor church? I could show you a church where most of the pews are empty and there's hardly any people. And you'd say, that's a poor church. And I'd say, no, that's not a poor church. I could show you a church where the offering plate is empty and there's nothing in it. And you'd say, there's a poor church. And I'd say, no, that's not a poor church. I could show you a church that doesn't have enough workers, not enough Sunday school teachers, not enough people to sing on the worship team, not enough people to clean, not enough people to serve, not enough people to take care of the building. And you'd say, that's a poor church. And I'd say, no, that's not a poor church. A poor church is a church without this book. A poor church is a church that doesn't know God. The Word of God reveals God. A rich church is not a church with money. It's not a church with people. It's not a church with resources. A rich church is a church that knows God and therefore fears Him. That's a rich church. Are we a rich church? I'm going to stay on this, but I really hope you support Rob. Because he's gone to Africa not to bring money, but to provide them with pastors who will preach the word of God so that the Christians in Uganda can know the true God. And only the word of God will do that. Verse 9 in your notes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Since the fear of the Lord is clean, it lasts forever. This is incredibly important for our society. Our society is bending over backwards to convince us, what? That a life based on honoring and fearing God is outdated. That the Bible is outdated. That the Bible is obsolete. In my garage, and perhaps in your garage, there are several computers. They are unplugged, they're in my garage, they're collecting dust, they're getting old, they're just sitting there. Why are they there? Why don't I pull them out and plug them in and use them in my office? I'll tell you why. Because, and I don't know the numbers, my daughter is here, she does, but in terms of RAM and REM and RIM and RUM and all those RUMs, there's nothing there. Oh, she's leaving now. It's 1 meg, 2 megs, 3 megs, 1K, whatever it is, they're totally outdated. They're junk in my garage. This phone in my pocket is a better computer than every computer I have in my garage. This phone in my pocket is probably a better computer than was used to put Neil Armstrong on the moon. And the world is telling you what? It is telling you that this is outdated. It's obsolete. It's old-fashioned. It's yesterday. That the rules in this book are outdated, that the principles are outdated, that God's law is outdated, that indeed God is outdated. But look at verse 9. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. You know what's going to happen? The people in this world that are telling you that this book is outdated, they will meet Jesus someday. When Jesus comes back, everyone will realize that this book was the only book that mattered. It's never outdated. It's never out of date. Look at verse 13. I'm sorry, number 13. In your notes, the proper response to the eternal word of God is the fear of God. And a life based on honoring God for who he is a permanent foundation for living. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Look at Psalm 119, 151 behind me on the screen. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. The word of God is entirely worthy of your trust. It is totally dependable. Number 14 in your notes. The word of God is totally dependable because God is totally dependable. Brothers and sisters, my number one concern for you is not that you would give Bibles to the persecuted church. My number one concern for you is not that you would support Rob. My number one concern for you is that you would know this book. My number one concern for you is that you would read this book every day and your soul would be restored and you would know the truth and the truth would set you free. So my question to you today is, are you treasuring God's word in your heart. We talked about this at 10 o'clock today. There is no such thing as having no time to read the Bible. No one in this room is too busy to read the Bible. Reading the Bible is not a scheduling issue. Do you know what you have in your hand? It's an eternal treasure. Read it, memorize it, study it, and let God's word give you life. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray as a church that we would hide God's word in our heart, that we would not sin against you. In Jesus' name, amen.